World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I was just thinking here on May 1st, as we're getting ready to go live, actually with us coming down the escalator over the multi-million dollar studio, I was trying to evaluate for myself, what is this show about? What is this show? I hate to use the term, a religious show? Is this a biblical show? Is this a cultural show? What the heck is this thing? And what is it that keeps you all coming back? Because, man, some of the stuff we want to talk about, I want to talk about today. The Holy Spirit, I'm not bragging, Holy Spirit gives me stuff. Sometimes it comes out of the blue. And I thought, man, we got to talk about that. And the next thing I know, I do a little Google research and boom. So we're kind of there today, kind of a potpourri, potpourri means variety, different kind of things. But we're gonna settle in on several different things. Before we get too deep in that, I got to tell you something. I always forget. All right. Last night we had a big pizza party here at the Dobenmeyer House. Serge is here, Clay's here. Mike Blake came on over. Glenn was here. Corinne came over. I'm forgetting somebody. Help me out, Michelle. It doesn't matter. And we had a pizza party and just sat around. What? Dave Allison. Oh, sorry, Dave. Dave Allison. Mike Blake. And I'm going to tell you something. What? I said Clay Parker. My wife's yelling at me. I could get her a pipeline down in here. Anyway, let me tell you something, friends. It's so refreshing. Fellowship with like-minded people is so refreshing. I had to run them out here last night. It's dark. Get out of here. You guys, get out of here. It's just that refreshing. And I just say that because I just try to encourage you guys, if you can make it to the event in June, I'm just telling you, it will be such an encouragement to you. When you actually get to, for the first time, look in the eyeballs of a guy you've only seen on Coach Dave Live. And you look into the eyeballs of Dave Allison and let Dave Allison play some of his music. I mean, it was really, really refreshing for me last night to they just showed up out of nowhere. Showed up and they're going to be here 4 or 5 days. And I had other stuff planned and, now it's the end of the month. I got a lot of stuff I got to do at the end of the month. And they didn't care, man. They went and looked at some mounds yesterday and they did whatever. And so, man, I just encourage you, man. If you can get here in June, it'll really be a blessing to you. Encourage me and encourage Michelle. And we all need it, man, because the truth of it is there aren't a whole lot of people that understand exactly what it is that's going on. And there's a lot going on. And, I want to take you down, not a rabbit hole. Anyway, hang on a second. Before I get gone, does anybody have something urgent for the good of the group that they want to bring up before we get too far? Paul, do you want to just give us that good news? I don't want to put you on the spot. If you just want to give us an overview of what's going on, because we care about you, man. We care about you. We don't know how to help. The good news is Paul's found him a butt-kicking attorney. That would be it, right, Paul?
Yeah.
By the way, through this network here.
Absolutely. Right? That was Eileen, man. She happened to know a client. This guy defended the J6ers. He's got a lot of searching for the truth, right? I mean, this guy is awesome. And I'll tell you what, it really brought me to tears to listen to him. And he had a close call with his health about a year or so ago. About 1,000 people were praying for him. He didn't know it. He got better. He didn't understand. And then he found out. So he's a true believer.
Amen, and buddy.
I didn't think there was any such thing in an attorney, to be honest with you.
Folks, I'm going to tell you, if you see the video of Dr. Paul being shot, take this the right way, Paul. All I saw was dollar signs. How can they get? How could they possibly do that to you and get away with it? It's really. I'm sure your attorney looked at that, thought, "What the
hell?" Immunity.
I took a beating after it too. Wait till you see my mugshot. My whole face is swollen. I have lacerations all over it, and then you throw me in jail saying I did something wrong. And I'll tell you what, it's not a good place to heal.
I bet it isn't. Bet it isn't. And you know, folks, I don't know if you know this. In the American justice system, you are guilty till proven innocent. You do understand that, don't you, friends? You do understand it. How do I know? Have you been to the airport? Have you ever gone, I'll try to get on a plane and go through security. Everybody has to strip. Everybody. You are guilty until they can prove that you don't have any weapons on you. You're all guilty. You're all guilty. And that's the mentality that we have in our American judicial system, really. The fact that you are arrested and charged don't mean squat, folks. It don't mean squat. So the legal system's all screwed up. And believe it or not, that's one of the things that kind of I want to get in here, get into a little bit today, because we started it yesterday. And believe it or not, I'm sometimes prompted by emails. And I got prompted by an email I got yesterday, and referring to Romans 13 and obeying the law, yada, yada, yada. Look, folks, there aren't any of us here that don't think we should obey the law. But the truth is, we're being forced to obey governmental laws. We're not obeying the law of God, right? Think about the educational system. You are forced, basically, to pay for the demonic education of your children. Not only your children, but everybody else's children. They said, well, there's a separation between the church and state. Spencer, real quick, Spencer, pull up humanism. Humanism. What is humanism? Go to the second one. Definition of humanism. Humanism is a progressive philosophy of life. This is from their own stuff. Without theism or other supernatural beliefs, humanism is an irrational philosophy formed by science, inspired by art, motivated by compassion, affirming the dignity of each human being. It supports the maximization of individual liberty. Scroll on down, Spencer. I'm trying to make a point. Humanism is a direct, religious humanist. Religious human. A joyous alternative religion, the belief in a supernatural God and life hereafter. Folks, here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Our schools aren't religion-free. Our schools are humanistic, and they get away with it because they say it is not a religion, when in fact religion is a set of rules and regulations that you and I follow in obedience to a God. If you were to look it up, that's what it says. Your God could be money, and you could worship money and everything about earning money, all that kind of stuff. So this idea that there's a separation between the church and the state is... I'm going to try to take that on today, okay? I'm going to try to take it on because your pastor, I promise you, unless your pastor's Dale Socher or Pastor Clint or Tom Gale, somebody, your pastor don't get it. He don't get it. He believes there's a separation between the church and state. And the idea of the separation between the church and state means, folks, if God isn't over government, then government's God. It's very clear. If there is no authority over government, then government's the authority. And that's where we are. I want to jump into that here real quickly. Somebody threw their hand up here. Let me come over here. Somebody threw their hand up. Did I miss it? Doesn't matter. Okay, so let's jump in here real quick, okay? Stay with me. Where do I want to start here? I got so much good stuff for you. I got so much. Pull up Romans 13. Romans 13. Because this is the one they hit you over the head with. Let every soul be subject. This is in the Bible. Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. Hey, friends. Is there any power outside God? According to what this says. The powers that be are ordained of God. Mother, father, teacher, those authorities, they are put into place, but they are not, how do I say this? They're not put in place to oppose the things of God. They're put in place to enforce the things of God. Are you with me? Whoever so therefore resisteth the power resisteth God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So government is supposed to be godly. Do you understand that? Now we know that according to the, I'll get, this is deep. The separation between the church and the state is bogus, friends. It's bogus, and I'm going to get into that. So what they did with the separation between the church and state is they booted the church out of government and said, okay, we'll run with it. We're going to run things. You little Christians, you stay over here. You do whatever you want to. We're going to roll. Okay, now watch, watch. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Rulers are supposed to be punishing evil, but they've redefined evil, haven't they? Evil becomes Bill Dunphy showing up and preaching on the steps of the Capitol. That has become evil. Because why? Government is supposed to be atheistic, right? For rulers are not a terror to good works, but evil. Will you then be not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. Who is? The elected officials are ministers of God to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, by the way, you have to define evil, don't you? And they've redefined evil. Evil's now judging. Evil's now using words. Evil's now not obeying that. See, to them, right? For he's a minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. If the government forces you to do something evil, you don't have to do it. In fact, you should have stand up against it. Murdering babies, the churches should have already closed down the abortion clinics. But why haven't the churches closed down the abortion clinics? Because they told you, Romans 13. Folks, we got to obey the government. We got to obey the government. You with me? So, this is one of the most back in the day, in the early days when America was a Christian nation. I'm going to get into that in a second here. Hang on a second. Dude, let's do it right now. Pull up number 2C. Pull up 2C. When they founded America, folks, did you know this? Scroll down there. Can you make that little thing bigger? Right there, right there. Did you know this? Religion in the colonies. Religion. That's what the 14th Amendment was all about, by the way. Look at this. It's hard to see, I know. Connecticut was Puritan. Established religion of Connecticut was Puritan. The established religion of Delaware was, I can't hardly read it, it's so small. Can't make it any bigger? The established religion of Georgia was Anglican. Oh, I'm sorry. Delaware had no established religion. Stay right there, Spence. You're okay. Georgia, Anglican. Maryland, Anglican. Massachusetts, Puritan. New Hampshire, Puritan. New Jersey, no established religion. States established the religion. States established the religions. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion. Congress, the First Amendment says, Congress, government, can't get involved with religion. Hands off! Each state decided it. North Carolina, New York Anglican, North Carolina Anglican. Pennsylvania, none. Rhode Island, none. South Carolina, Anglican. Virginia, Anglican. And then along, well, Maryland eventually became Catholic. Did you guys know this? So when they wrote the establishment of religion, they meant not that America wasn't going to be Christian, but that we weren't going to be controlled by a denomination. See, when they came out of England, one of the reasons the Puritans fled England is because there was the Church of England. People were forced to be members of the Church of England. And who was the head of the Church of England? The king. So the king ruled religion. And the colonists said, we're out of here. We're going to go someplace where we can have freedom of religion. And we're going to go set up. That's how they developed 13 different states. Because each area was religious in nature. Do you guys know that? Did you know that? And along comes a Everson versus the Board of Education in 1947, the Supreme Court ruled that there's a separation between the church and the state. Hey, Gene, you're looking at me right there. Hey, Gene, what's the difference between the state and the feds? Is there a difference in those two things, Gene?
Every state has its own. It's an own country.
It's its own country. Individual states, right? Ought to be free and independent states. So when they say that there's a separation between the church and the state, where do the feds get involved with this? It ain't about the feds. And the federal government came in and said, oh, look at that. No establishment of religion. Okay, so therefore, ain't no religion in America. After how many hundreds of years of Christianity in America? It was a coup. They overthrew Christianity in America. 1947, Everson versus the Board of Education. Do I have it up in there? I thought I did. Pull up 2A. The text of the Declaration of Independence, when the course of human events is necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them to another, to separate, come on, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. Good question here. Why didn't they put Jesus there? Why didn't they put Jesus? Laws of nature and his nature. They knew who they were talking about. They knew who nature's God was. Now, this is where you get into a lot of that, dare I say it, Masonic influence. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause of which impel them. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, devoured by their creator, certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and secure these rights, governments to among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed, that when in any form of government becomes a destructive disease, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish. J6, and to institute new government. By the way, going on maybe in Washington, D.C. right now, are the people rising up to alter and abolish it, to institute new government? Laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will indicate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experiences have shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evil is insufferable than a right to abolish by the forms to which they are accustomed. So, six judges back in 1947 at Evanston versus the Board of Education said there's a separation between church and state. You guys know what that was about? Do you know what the Evanston versus Board of Education was all about? Let's see if I have that here. Pull that up. No, Spencer, I can't. It was about whether or not tax dollars would go to transport kids to Catholic school. Did you guys know that? That's what the whole Evanston versus the Board of Education separation between the church and state was all about. Because a lot of people didn't think that Catholics were real Christians. I'm sure you know that, right? And so they started griping and moaning that, look, we don't want our tax dollars going to support the Catholic Church. So that's the whole thing behind this idea of the separation of church and state. They didn't want the Pope in charge of America. You don't have to believe it. I'm telling you the truth. And so when they declared that there was an Everson versus the Board of Education, that there was a separation between the church and the state, boom, Christianity went out the door. So we're in a fight right now, whether we want to admit it or whether we want to realize it or not. We are in a fight for a de-establishment of government, that Christ is king. Y'all agree with that? Christ is king? Well, if Christ is king, how can the government not obey Christ as king? How can that be? And it's happened with this lie of the separation between the church and state because now pastors are able to stand in their pulpit. By the way, stand in their pulpit with a approval of government, right? A 501c3, to be able to stand in the pulpit with their 501c3 and get tax exemption. Thank you, Mr. Government, for not collecting taxes. Thank you, Mr. Government, for not collecting. And by the way, pastor, you can stand in your pulpit. Don't mention anything about the government. Don't you dare mention it. That's where we are, right? And so you run into the average guy, average pastor in America. They think the 501c3 tells them they can't speak about political issues. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in. That's a brief overview, okay? I know some of let me get I know some of you want to get in here because you have even more of it than what I understand. But as long as we don't understand our history and go, we were having a talk last night with the guys that were sitting around the table. And it's amazing. A lie makes it about one generation, maybe. The truth. How many of us living today still remember the Kennedy assassination? I remember it vividly, right? Do your grandkids? Do your children? Do your grandchildren? So no, so they've, your children and grandchildren are being taught the official narrative, right? Which was what? Oswald acted alone. That's they don't know, right? We all know because we lived it. We've seen the Zapruder film. We know what's going on. But government wrote the history, and now the history is taught to the school. Oswald did it. Oswald did it. 9-1-1. How long ago was 9-1-1? 2001. 23 years. Do you know that you have, what percentage of our population was not alive in 2001? And what's been the narrative they've been taught? Yep, those daggone Muslims stole those airplanes and flew them into towers, and two towers came down. And that is the established historical. Are you with me? Are you with me? So we have to understand that the battle for truth is generational. Psalm 78, bring it up, Spence. Psalm 78. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place, but I feel this so deeply. Our courts are so corrupt. Psalm 78, what's it say? Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in peril, utter duck sightings of old, which we have known and our fathers have told us. Do you see generational truth passed down here? Generational truth. Our fathers have told us. And we will not hide it from our children, because we have to show the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. So we have a generation of pastors in the pulpit right now that think they can't mix religion and politics. Why? Because the generation before them didn't pass the truth down. You get it? For he established his testimony in Jacob, pointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make it known to their children. We send our children to public schools where they teach establishment government theology. That's what we do. And then we're surprised that our children and grandchildren aren't serving the Lord. They never hear anything about it. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who would arise and declare it to their children. What? This generational Christianity. And the devil came into our government and said, separation between the church and state. Get Christ out of the schools and look what we have. That they might set their hopes in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Not even posted in the schools. Scroll on down, Spencer. Keep his commandments and not be like their poppies, a stubborn and rebellious generation.
Amen.
It set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And here we are. Here we are. The children of Ephraim, that's us, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. We're in the day of battle right now. Right now, in the day of battle. What was it? They didn't keep the covenant of God, and they refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Easy crime. Coming alive, isn't it? It's coming alive. So we have a decision that we have to make. I got some more stuff. I'll get it up here in a second. We're going to have to decide if we're going to engage in this war. It's really where we are. And as I say every day when I come down here, we're at a turning point. Will the church arise? Will the church arise? Friends, are you looking at me? Our justice system is so wicked. It is so wicked. Now, Paul was talking about his attorney. I'll get you in here in a second, Paul. His attorney is probably taking a risk by not obeying the bar. Right? Take Paul Goslin. Paul Goslin can't give medical advice. Why can't he give medical advice? Because the medical system says he's not qualified to give medical advice. Yet he gives me some of the most some of the greatest wisdom from health issues, but he doesn't have the stamp of the government on him, right? So see, folks, we have allowed government to become God. No other gods before me is what it says. No freedom of religion, not freedom from it. Not freedom from religion, freedom of it, of the ability to speak, the ability to say the truth. First Amendment, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise. Spencer pulled it up there. First Amendment, I'm coming. Hang on. Let me get it out. Let me belch this out of me. First Amendment. It's so clear we're going to obey it or we're not going to obey. Who cares what the courts say? Congress shall make no law. They didn't say court shall make no law. Why? Courts cannot make law. It's so simple. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion. Folks, they had established religions in the colonies. And when they said Congress shall make no law establishment of religion, they meant making Anglicanism the official Christian. These are all Christian religions, all Christians. Establishment of a denomination. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a denomination as a denomination of America. They left the Church of England headed by the king, or prohibiting free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. Has Congress made any laws abridging your freedom of speech? Come on, right? Or of the press, right? Or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble? Petition their government for redress of grievances? What was J6? A peaceable assemble, except Nancy Pelosi and her crew made it unpeaceable. And when they made it violent, then they said, well, we closed it down, not because you couldn't have free speech, but because it wasn't peaceable. Oh, these folks, there was something. I know them all over the place. I got more. This is all good. Come on in, Paul.
It wouldn't surprise you to know that Washington has more lawyers per capita than any other place. Right. Second is New York, by the way, and it's crazy. But, you know, you've talked endlessly about the way the church has not done its job and complained or got out there and talked about the truth. This is a movie everybody should see, okay? This is from the people that wrote The Chosen. His name is Bonhoeffer. He was in Germany at the time. Hitler was introduced. And you see it endlessly throughout the Lutheran church. They just kept dropping the ball. They were too fearful. It takes courage for people to step up. He stepped up. It's a great movie. I hope at least you will see it, David. And that's Angel Productions, the people that.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, I'm just.
Now, Paul, listen, people will complain about that because they say Angel Productions is Mormon. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
It's what we all do, right? Yep. We find a reason not to believe.
Find a reason right. Not to. Yep. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Thanks, Paul. Quickly, pull up for me. Where is it? Angie, you awake out there, number three. Pull up number three. Go ahead, Joe Allen, while we're getting number three up there. Go ahead. No, hand down. Okay, so occupy reality. Real quick, I'm going to read down through this. Render to Caesar, but don't you dare speak against him. How the IRS neutered the church and how God proved it, how COVID proved it. The American church used to be fearless. It fought tyranny in the revolution. It sheltered runaway slaves and defied immoral laws during abolition. It preached with power, not with permission. But that church is gone. Now we have a church that's compliant, corporate, and when tested during COVID, it shows obedience over truth. I'm going to stop a minute. Would somebody say amen? I just heard the thunder. So
amen.
Amen.
But that church is gone. We have a church that's compliant, corporate, and when tested during COVID, it shows obedience over truth. Let's follow the chain of surrender. Part one. The church that once led the revolutions was the Black Robe Regiment. British loyalists used this term to describe patriot pastors during the American Revolution. They weren't just preaching liberty. They were rallying men to war. Who? Christian men. The Black Robe Regiment. Peter Muhlenberg preached Ecclesiastes 3, then tore off his robe to reveal a continental uniform. Jonas Clark sheltered Hancock and Adams and prepped his congregation for Lexington. James Caldwell handed out hymnals for musket wadding. Give them watts, boys! They weren't passive sermons. They were calls to action. The church wasn't nonprofit. It was the tip of the spear. The abolitionist church, decades later, churches once again stood up. Harriet Beecher Stowe, daughter of a preacher, wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin. Quaker and evangelical churches ran the Underground Railroad. Black churches were safe havens for slavery and injustice. The pulpit once declared to challenge both cultural evil and governmental sin. Part two, the 501c3 trap, legalizing cowardice. Vinny, that'd be a boom! Legalizing cowardice.
Boom.
In 1954, Senator Lyndon B. Johnson slipped in an amendment that would muzzle this legacy. Churches were already tax exempt. By the First Amendment, common law, and Section 501c1a, they didn't need to register at all. And Johnson brought in the 501c3. Well, we'll get to it. But Johnson created the 501c3. A voluntary IRS registration came with a price. No political endorsements. See, he was running for office and churches were against him. No opposition to candidates, no substantial lobbying or political activity. Churches traded freedom for tax deductions. Say that again. Churches traded freedom for tax deductions. Wow. Part three, COVID, the great silence. In 2020, the test came and most pulpits failed. Churches were labeled non-essential. The government said that, right? The churches, the government closed down the churches because they said they were non-essential. Walmart stayed open. Bars stayed open. Worship was banned. Baptism forbidden. Singing songs outlawed. You know this is the truth. Just telling you the truth. Communion was suspended. Did the church resist? Grace Community Church fought the state and won $800,000 in court. Calvary Chapel was fined $1.2 million, but was later overturned. Life Tabernacle pastor placed under house arrest. River of Tampa Bay pastors arrested. Trinity Bible Chapel was fined $85,000 by the government. I thought there was a separation between the church and the state. Out of thousands, only a few stood. The rest were silent. Why? Part four, bought off. The PPP payoff. While pulpits were shut down, the government paid up. Over $5 billion in PPP loans went to churches. Say it again. $5 billion from the government went to loans to the churches. Most of the loans were forgiven. Effectively, it's free money. Wow. One in three churches took the cash. Joel Osteen's church took $4.4 million. No wonder he doesn't speak against the government. Life Church took $7 million. To get that cash, churches agreed to governmental terms. They weren't paid to preach. They were paid to comply. What the church used to be? The church once resisted kings, sheltered the hundred, disobeyed immoral laws, and spoke truth to the empire. Now it consults lawyers before preaching, submits to the IRS, and applies for funding before asking for revival. Bottom line, the church used to be a movement, but now it's a brand. Wow. Benny, boom, boom,
boom.
The church used to be a movement, but now it's a brand. It used to defy tyrants, now it obeys them. It used to be free, now it's leased by the IRS and sponsored by the state. And until it breaks that leash, the church has no moral authority to call for revival. That's pretty profound, folks. Y'all be sharing that with all your friends. Put it in the chat. I don't know how to put that in the chat. Render unto Caesar. No king but King Jesus. No king but King Jesus. Say it again. No king but King Jesus.
Can you say social club?
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Can you say social club?
Social club. Social club. And for the first time, and I don't know how long, say what you want, there's a movement in America to reestablish Christianity in our government, and the churches are pissed. Why the church is pissed? Because if the pastor doesn't have an excuse, he's going to have to start telling the truth. He's going to start have to start touching on those touchy subjects. Come on, Clint. Clint, I'm never talking about you. I want you to know that. I'm never talking about you.
I never think you do. Right. Isn't it a bit dog always hollers? I don't feel a bit at all. What you just read was an answer to everything I was going to say, basically. But last week I preached about render unto Caesar, and you know Jesus got the asked for a coin, and he said he asked two things: whose image and whose superscription or what inscription is on. And they said Caesar. And one side of the coin in this day of the denarius, one side had picture of Caesar. On the other side, and this is crazy, it had Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine. And I believe he held it up and said, whose image is this? Caesar's. And then he turned it over where it said son of the divine. And that's when he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God is what is God. Because Paul, in several places, says that we bear the image of Christ.
Amen.
And the backside was talking about Christ, the Son of the Son of God, Son of the Divine. And so he was.
So really, Clint, in the American dollar today, the American coin today, whose image is on that? George Washington, right?
Yeah.
And so, look, they're not telling you to give the money to the government. They said, if you think it belongs to the government, give it to them.
Well, he wouldn't. Everybody says, oh, well, that means you pay your taxes. No, you need to understand the earthly things. The image is earthly, Caesar. But the godly things is you, because you are supposed to carry the image of God, of Jesus.
Amen.
And he said, you know, what he's saying is, you better give everything to God because you're his. And we getting back to the 501(c)(3), and you answered that question too in the reading. I don't understand why people don't know that if you are a church, you're automatically tax exempt.
Immune.
Yes, you do not have to be 501(c). Now, ministry does, but if you call yourself a church, you do not. And it's a trap of the government, just like what you said about the COVID funds. And we got a letter, and I never even shared it with anybody because it wasn't going to happen as long as I was pastor there, sending, you know, money for COVID. I was not taking a dime from the government. And after the fact, I looked, there's a list. Just in Franklin County, the churches that took money from the government, and it astounded me. It was crazy. And that's everything, 501(c), the money, everything is just a trap from the government to have its thumb on the church. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. You can't do this. And I don't know why churches don't see that.
Okay, incorporation, corp is body.
Yeah.
And means connection. And incorporation makes you a governmental agency.
Why would a church ever be incorporated? I don't get it.
Then, well, because back in the day when we had a Christian government, we thought it was. They saw it as protective. Folks, it ain't protective anymore.
No.
It isn't protective anymore. It isn't. It's getting government approval to preach the gospel. And if you happen to show up in Washington, D.C. for the government Black Robe Regiment to oppose a stolen election, they're going to throw your ass in jail. That's how that game's played. Vinny, Thanks, Clint.
Hey, Coach. So I wanted to say something about raw milk. Can I ask any raw milk advocates to check minds.com/GMNO and respond? Does raw milk spoil? Because there's a bait and switch going on with that, but I'm not going to talk about that now. Coach.
Yep.
1865, right? We had the switch, the bait and switch of the 13th Amendment. At the same time, we had something called the Freedmen's Bureau. Remember 40 acres and a mule? Right? We talked about
right.
That. Right. Right. For some reason, that whole Freedmen Bureau disappeared right after the United States became a corporation. Isn't that curious, Coach?
That is curious, Vinny. That is curious. By the way, pull up the 14th Amendment, Spencer. 14th Amendment. We don't hear much about it. Remember, folks, there were only 10 in the beginning. There were only 10. And then we started, changing them, right? What's 14th Amendment? Look at this, huh? Ratified what? Now stay at the top there. The 14th Amendment extends liberties and rights granted by the Bill of Rights to formerly enslaved people. So in other words, the government, 14th Amendment, supposedly granted rights to blacks. No, no. If you read down deep, it did that. It did free the slaves. But if you read all, you read down there of all the things that happened with the 14th Amendment. We are in the mess we are in because of the 14th Amendment. That's a whole nother story. Come on in, Angie.
Morning. I knew you would like that Occupy Reality post there, Coach. Yep. I wanted to give you a little bit of history on that. That is a very new page. It's a new social media page. It is on Facebook. I don't know if she's got that out on X yet or not, but her name is Belinda, and Belinda is a friend of mine, and she's also my neighbor. And she has the most wonderful ability to take things down to their logical conclusion. And she is extremely conservative. She's a great Christian gal. But I just thought you'd like some perspective on that. So if you're on social media, look for Occupy Reality. Join her page because she is looking to try to get the information out there. She does a lot of this kind of stuff and not just federal stuff, but she does a lot of like world stuff. She's really, really good at what she does. So, yeah, go out and support my girl, Belinda.
Amen. Thanks, Angie. Thanks. Hey, can I change gears here a little bit? I'm going to change gears. Go to where is it? I'm sorry. Number four, Dr. Martin. Changing gears. Okay. Look, I'm sorry about the F word up there. I got this off of Facebook. Okay. It is what it is. Go ahead. Listen to this. Go ahead.
Well, the translators are gone and the live stream is waning, which means that if we just listen to my colleague Matthias, the best thing in the world would be to leave it to you, the people. Now it's up to you to share what clearly, based on the cavernous emptiness we see in all of these spaces, is only going to be heard if you share it. So it feels very appropriate that I should be the one with the quietest voice. But let's let that lion roar, shall we? I'm done talking about COVID, and I'm done talking about SARS-CoV-2, and I'm done for a very simple reason. For 110 years, we, the people of the world, have been lied to. We're a group, a very small number of criminal industrial conspirators decided to subordinate the entirety of the human population for the purpose of their sinister plans to enrich themselves while impoverishing and killing the rest of humanity. And I'm done being polite. We've long passed polite. When the words acceptable death rate become part of an industrial norm, we have lost the plot of humanity.
Mm.
And that's not my words. Those were the words of the World Health Organization and of Pfizer and of Moderna when they were given the authorization to begin the process of killing human beings in the interest of advancing their goals. Next slide. And I'm also not going to sugarcoat this. This is a criminal cartel We are acting as though there's some sort of redeemable quality somewhere in some esoteric layer that somehow or another the World Health Organization must have some salutatory benefit. Well, I'm going to tell you, since its formation in the 1940s, the World Health Organization has been nothing more than a criminal cartel that has a sole and singular intent. And I will show you the document that proves what I'm saying. This is not an allegation. This is actually provable by their own words in their own hand. And they use a four-step process to execute every one of their nefarious plans. They begin by planning an exercise. Then they go to the business of funding that exercise. Then they create the rationale for the thing that they're going to do, and then they deploy and profit from it. And in violation of 15 U.S. Code Section 19, which for those of you listening, coincidentally started with the Clayton Act in the same year that the World Health Organization in the United States, 1913, the same year the World Health Organization's progenitors also started. So I find it fascinating that we passed the Clayton Act in 1913 and we set in motion 110 years ago the criminal conspiracy, which we now call the World Health Organization. 110 years later. And in violation of TEFU, or TEFU, I don't know even how to say it, the TFEU, the treaty allegedly for the functioning of the European Union, which I think needs to now be called the Treaty for the Dysfunctional European Cabal, Article 101 unambiguously lays out the conditions that this was never a public health anything. It was racketeering for the purpose of instilling terror to adapt the behavior of a population, period. That's what it was. That's what it always was. And we can come up with every theoretical argument we want to make about things, but the problem, even with the theory that we had an outbreak of something, is falsifiable for the data from Zurich that shows us that in the year of the death pandemic of the globe, life insurance companies paid $30 billion less in claims. Now, if there's a medical professional or a social professional or anybody else who wants to debate that we could develop a virus cunningly that could find out your bank account, your insurance policy statements, and whether you're paid up on your premiums, that's a big ask. It turns out that the data is unambiguous. We did not have a pandemic. We had genocide. And we need to call it what it is.
Okay, that's good enough. Put it in the chat. We can put it in the chat. Folks, this truth is beginning to come out. Come on in, Vinny.
Speaking exactly to that, I went to go see Vax at the Angelica Theater on opening night and ran into Andrew Wakefield and Del Bigtree. You know, 10 years ago, they got Andrew Wakefield to do a retraction on the fact that vaccines cause autism. This is me saying it, not Coach Day. All right, idiots. Vaccines cause autism. Now, I just put a video in this morning. Three triplets were vaccinated. Within hours, they regress into autism. How can you? This it's not. It's a direct link. It's ridiculous for people to say it. It's not. And this whole thing, time bomb. We're supposed to forget about what they did, and now put the two and two together.
They had best intentions, Vinny. They had good intentions. And, Vinny, they were hurried through. They had to hurry the process because people were going to die if they just didn't get emergency authorization and get it out there.
They sure did. Yeah, they made sure they had the six-foot spacers in the supermarkets right ready just in time, didn't they?
Right. So it says the Lord will send a strong delusion because they rejected the truth. It's 2 Thessalonians. Because they rejected the truth, the Lord sends strong delusion that they would believe a lie. See if you can find that, Spencer. I don't want people to think I make this stuff up. Let's put up strong delusion. See what you find.
Boom, Coach.
Huh? Strong delusions. There it is. 2 Thessalonians. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness and then that perish. By the way, folks, perish doesn't mean die. Perish is the picture of a horse, a wild stallion without a bridle. running around without direction, doing whatever they want, with all deceivable as unrighteous, and them that ride around without any direction, no harness, just going wherever the media tells them, and because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. How many people do you come in contact with still today that refuse to receive the truth? They just refuse to receive it. And because of that, God's going to send them a strong delusion. He says, all right, Helen, there you go, baby. You want to believe that? Well, then believe this. Here you go. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We ought to all boon that. We ought to all boon that. Why? Because they refused to believe the truth. And it's like a father with a child. And you've all been there if you have children. You've all been there. You tell your kids several times and finally say, hey, listen. Forget it, man. You're going to do whatever you're going to do. I told you, you won't listen. Do whatever you're going to do. That's what God does. 2 Thessalonians 2. Go to hell. Go do whatever you want to do. I'm done with you. Gave them over to a reprobate mind. Gave them over. I ain't dealing with you anymore. Randy.
Coach, if you want to see where he learned about delusions, the word, he probably got it from Isaiah chapter 66. Verse 4, if you read that in context, that was what was coming. That was a prophecy of the days of the apostles by Isaiah. But you can see that, Coach.
Was that 66,
Isaiah 66:4.
66:4, we're getting it up there. I will choose their delusions. Wow. And will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, they didn't answer me. When I spoke, they didn't listen. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Wow. Go ahead, Randy. Are you done there?
Wow. Yeah. Amen.
Mm. Jesus loves everybody. Mm. Who are you to judge, Coach? Joe Allen.
It's hey, my
Joe.
Wife.
Hey, Joe, hang on a second. You don't get this anywhere else, do you, folks? Do you get stuff like this anywhere else? It's unbelievable how true the Bible is and how it enlightens us to understand what's going on. Go ahead, Joe.
My wife's been a nurse since 1984, and she's worked all different kinds of areas in the hospital and outside the hospital. The company she works for now takes care of children, vaccine-injured children. There are now 86 vaccine injured children in this little town of Augusta, Georgia. Enough said.
We hadn't begun to see him, Joseph. Hadn't begun to see him. Hey, real quickly, I've looked high and low to try to find that 5-hour video on YouTube about Tartaria. I can't find it. So if somebody have it, can click and put it in the chat. Help me out. I've been searching. And searching high and low.
Give me just a moment, Coach.
Okay, Vinny. Thanks, man. Yeah, Spencer's putting Tartary in there and all that stuff. Folks, I'm just telling you. So the guys that are here, the gentlemen that are in town, it's censored, oh, is it, Judd? The guys that are here in town, they went to some of the mounds yesterday and saw them, didn't make the connection really to everything that's going on around us. There is such a history that we haven't been told. As we know, right now, if you ask the average, there it is. Is that it? No, that's part of it. If you ask the average child in American schools, let's say senior at your local high school, what happened on 911? What would they tell you? Is anybody out there besides me remember Waco? When the federal government attacked and burned down a church, killed children. They tried to tell us that Timothy McVeigh drove a truck up and bombed a building. By the way, folks, that's all history now. That all becomes history. That's where we are. And so we're in a point. Thank God for this forum, and I don't just mean Coach Dave Live. Thank God for the internet. Thank God for guys like Vinny, who's constantly digging behind the scenes. Thank God for people who every day send me something, say, Coach, did you see this? Coach, did you see this? I need an assistant, to be honest with you. The unveiling, the revealing of truth is like something we have never, ever, ever seen in our life. We're in the midst of a radical, radical transformation. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know who's going to win. I mean, I know who's going to win. I know who's going to win. But I don't know what that's going to look like. Amen. So, hey, I got 5 minutes. I'm pretty much talked out. I got something else. I want to go to another subject. I want to hear from you. Come on in. Jeff.
Going back on the church status, besides Dale, hey, buddy, Dale, do you know any churches that operate just as a business, a small business or large business, that maybe open their books to the people, to the congregation and that kind of thing, and just run it as a for-profit, just flat out open it? Do you know of any?
No, see, Jeff, that's what I said the other day, and some people didn't take it.
I mean, that's what I would do.
Well, see, that's what I said. Jeff, would you think, look, folks, you're not going to like hearing this. Coach Dave Live is a ministry. But can I tell you something? It's a business. It's a business. And what do you mean it's a business? Well, we became a ministry because we could get a tax write-off. Yeah, right? And what was it Roger Weaver told us? You don't need that tax write-off. That's already built into the system, right? But it's all means of control. It's a business. I'm not a church. We're not a church. We're a ministry. By the way, you're all supposed to be ministers, and you don't need the daggone government's approval to be able to do it. See, we've got it upside down. The church is above the government. The individual is above the government. We don't get it. We don't get it. Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. So you started off this morning talking about the separation of church and state. And, you know, that's been a great conversation. And what has happened in my brain is I've gone back to the Book of Enoch where, where the sons, okay, let me just go back. Breaking the bonds of sunder. Doesn't that sound like the separation of church and state?
That's,
getting yes. away from God, you detach from that's source, Lord. Detach that's from creator, okay?
Right.
Then yeah. you perish. You become this unbridled horse that you were speaking about.
Right.
Now, with Enoch, it showed how once this happened, we're now capable of creating this unsanctioned race of Nephilim, okay?
Mm. Yep.
And then, so when this happens, the daughters of, you know, they traded the daughters of men for this secret knowledge and technology.
Yep.
That allows them to control souls of men. That it says that they trade in the souls of men. And how do they do this? They create these governments that all come together with for one purpose. And we saw it. We all witnessed it with this COVID thing that went on.
Yep.
Every single government was in lockstep. They had plans for decades on this going down. And what's happening is the church is just turning its head and acting like we have not been attacked by the enemy.
Amen.
This is a full-on attack. They've come after our children, our health, our money. And yes, the Freemasons have been in power in this country since the beginning. They are still in power. That's why they're all over our currency. That's why they are crash landing the dollar bill right now. And that's why you can't get a good doctor. They have to go by their narratives. You can't get a good pastor. They got to worry about paying the government.
That's right. That's right. You can't get a good lawyer. They have to obey the bar. Right?
Look at the mess the God's people are in. And this is, I am afraid it's what it's going to look like unless we want to be a part of that dead church of Sardis. Okay.
Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. By the way,
amen.
Nothing I own belongs to Caesar. Not anything I own belongs to Caesar. Huh? Come on, man. Huh? Come on. See you tomorrow.